shall read from the Gospel by Luke, chapter 1. Look at verse 28. This is a word to Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The book of the Acts, please, chapter 1. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That will do for our reading. I would like to engage your thoughts for some minutes speaking on Mary, the mother of the Lord. I know because of the way in which the Church of Rome has exalted Mary and has turned her into a deity and has in many ways dishonored God, we are reluctant to say very much upon this woman that we know of in the Bible. And yet I judge that her life and what we know of her has messages for our soul, especially for the souls of our young sisters. And if what I'm saying today is a blessing to some of these young sisters, I think I won't have spent the minutes in vain. We do feel a good deal for the rising generation. And we know that the temptations for young women at the present time are intensely great. They're no less, of course, trying for the temptations are no less in the lives of young men. But we do feel that if the Bible was looked into and some of these characters were pondered, much of the difficulty would have vanished and much of the uselessness of wasted time would be avoided. Dear young believer, if the Lord has saved you, and he has if you are a believer, life's a very precious thing. Whatever you do, be careful how you live it. Our brother has been showing us that there's a kind of second best life that you can live. And if you had missed the road on that, you would regret it at the end of days, and you would never be able to undo it. And the first thing I want you to think about Mary is this, that she was, in a sovereign way, selected out of the thousands of young women in Israel to be the mother of the Lord. And that was solemn, and that was important. I would say that likely, lingering in the breast of the young women in Israel right down the ages, was that special desire to be the mother of the Messiah of Israel. That honor couldn't come to everybody. It would just rest on one individual. The choice of that individual would be God's alone. He would decide who would have the honor of bringing into the world Jesus, the Messiah. Can you think of her favor? Can you think of how she was singled out from every other young woman? Can you think of how sovereign God was to go to the town where she lived to mark her out as the only vessel for this particular service? And she was settled by the eternal God to be the instrument to bring, as I said already, Jesus into this world. Well, so someone, you needn't preach on that down here because Jesus is born and that's over. And the bringing forth of the man child, that's a thing that has already taken place. But is there anything in that for me? Ask yourself. You will never, as a believer, have the responsibility of bearing Christ in that sense that Mary bore him. But did you know that in a moral sense, and in a spiritual sense, God's high honors heaped upon your head and upon my head is to bring forth those beauties of Christ and that moral perfect one to the scene in our life. Hope you grasp that. That we might show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you link that with Paul's desire for those saints where he desired that Christ be formed in you so that the real wonder of Christianity is this, that it is the production of Christ in the life of God's people, and that, I repeat, is the greatest honor he can compare upon us. And when you think of this favor, because this leads me to what we were at yesterday in another form, that wherever you get divine blessing, wherever you get a soul that is really blessed, that soul will always have corresponding trials to endure. Wasn't it well that Mary was an instrument, pure and clean in her life? Listen to my dear young sister. There's much in this world that we live in that's corrupt. Much that would defile you. You could lose in minutes what the tears of a lifetime would never bring back. Nothing more important than to be pure in your moral character. Let no man defile it. That's a treasure that if you lose it, you can never bring it back. Here it was. A pure living, moral person. Then again, she was one who was going in a special way to experience the operations of the Holy Spirit in her being. I hope we're aware of that. We don't get too much ministry on the operations of the Spirit within us. Likely not one believer in the company. But knows that the moment they trusted Christ, they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Are you satisfied with just reading that in the Bible? You say, I believe that. But tell me, dear child of God, how much do you know of the operations of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is that not more important? The power of the Holy Spirit enabling you to overcome sin. You say, I thought you only needed the help of the Holy Spirit when you were going to preach the gospel or when you were going to speak to sin. You know that the whole stress in the Bible is the fact that the indwelling Holy Spirit enables you to overcome what you can't overcome by nature. Now, I'm not against men saying at the end of conferences, well, we hope that they'll send us home more determined than ever to live for God and more determined than ever to enjoy the things of God. But I would love to tell you, dear young believers especially, that determination God does not make this good. I'm giving you time to think of that. It takes more than a decision of the mind to enable a man to overcome nature and to overcome an evil nature within him. He needs the power of an unbreathed Holy Spirit to master that which cannot be mastered by human effort.
Then again, I know it was thrilling for Mary to hear this message. Likely she had difficulty taking it in. Or it did bewilder her when she first was told it. And likely she tried to measure up what exactly was involved. But I like this about her. Now, though it was perplexing, and though it was problematic, and though it was beyond taking in by human mind, she was submissive. She says, let it be, just as you say. Oh, I like that in a young believer. Here's a young woman. She has found herself the object of divine attention. She has found herself singled out from every other woman on the earth. And while all that has been told her is going to come to pass, she is quite prepared to yield her body for the design of God that His will be carried out in her case. I'm sure, dear believer, you have read those words, haven't you, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Present your body. By the mercies of God, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or intelligent service. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I think that Mary is a beautiful example of that. She as much as says, here's my body. Use it for whatever purpose thou hast in mind. And though she did not put it on the altar, nor was she expected to do so, she had her body entirely at the will of God. Now, unlike many young girls, or young women, she had no trouble along a certain line. And that was this, that she had, in the goodness of God, a godly companion already to whom she was betrothed. You know, the young women have many thoughts along this line. I don't often speak on it. I'm not a man that preaches to women. But I do think that there is in some lands anyhow, kind of an ambition amongst young sisters. And whatever else they name it, they don't want the next apartment in life. They don't be thinking that that's everything. Please, whatever you do, don't forget. God may have a better part for you than sharing life with someone else. Whatever you do, whatever you do, we would repeat what we said yesterday. Don't step into the unequal yoke. He may profess to be saved, you know, and he wouldn't be saved. He spent a lifetime living with one that knew not God. He shared the awful sorrow of grieving the Lord and of knowing right well that your trouble was your own mistake. It's very painful and it's dreadful to conceive. Mary had none of those words. Not lovely. He's managed to find a carpenter husband. Also somebody I would like a professional man. I wouldn't like to have to live with a carpenter. I wouldn't like to have to live with a man that has no business of his own. Just imagine me living with a carpenter. You wear her hands that brought the footwork. But her brother that has just spoken already knew. And many a good man was prepared to lift the tool and prepared to work. But there's one thing I wanted to stress, and that is this. That while she had no worry that way, no sooner had this message begun to take effect that she had heard, than what was grieving her most was the fact that this friendship was going to break up. And we have had a lot of sad cases in Northern Ireland of disappointed young women. Young men sitting down beside young women and telling them that they had the mind of the Lord, and telling them that they definitely were going to take them as partners in life, and that they wouldn't be happy in the world without them, and that nothing else would satisfy them, only their companionship. Ah, dear young woman, there's nothing shocks you more, and there's nothing shakes you to the foundation, like a man that says he's saved and he doesn't keep his word, and he's not sincere. Well, that wasn't so in Joseph's day. But because of what had happened, and because he didn't know, and because her character was being questioned, he was going to have to break off the engagement, to use modern terms, and he was going to put her away. What I think, brother, there were a few nights of sorrow in those 3 nights. Here, Mary, could you clear yourself? Now, come on, brother. Could you lift the cloud? Could you make it right? She's misunderstood. And the man's misunderstanding her. And she can't deny it. And yet she knows she's as innocent as an unborn child. Who could hear it? None but God himself. And he steps in and gives Joseph the dream that clears the air and leaves the three hopping together for the rest of their lifetime. As everyone can first, and I think you see who did go first to do that. You thought that'd be about it. And these dear men here sitting at the front, like myself, the question of marriage and all that, something away behind you. And all these matters are over. But it's still a possibility. And I know by painful experience what it is to be blamed in the wrong, to be blackened by my brethren. There's hardly a man here but knows something of that. You can't defend yourself. You can't hear yourself. Say, what are you going to do? The only hope is that God will speak. And when God clears the air, those who misunderstood us become our greatest friend. I'm giving you time to think about over. Oh, many a man has stood beside his fellow believer. And when God spoke to him, and God awakened him to see the mistake he had made, he could nearly have wept in the presence of the man he had hurt. Why? Because he was learned from God that he was misunderstanding him. Oh, I know, dear brother, that's not easy. Especially when it's touching something that's vital to our character. What about this pure young virgin? Being misunderstood, it must have been the most painful thought in her mind. Can it be the dear Joseph that I love so dearly, that he's actually suspicious about me? And I'm sure she must have been thrilled when she knew that God had cleared the matter and left her absolutely what she really was, true to me. Until a few days before the child was born. Remember, she's linked with flesh. And her link with flesh was going to be costly. Suddenly the news goes through the land. Taxing time has come. We'll all have to go to Bethlehem to get enrolled. I'm not in a very good condition for traveling. And those primitive days, no airplanes to move about in, no nice motor car to drive in, maybe nothing but a beast to ride upon, if she had that, likely, was quite poor and had very little. But Joseph and Mary make their way to Bethlehem. You know, it's all right for us to read that now, you know, when they know. We know the purpose that was behind it. The hand of the living God in complete control of the universe and all that's involved in it, have turned, as it were, the whole machinery of politics to bring about the birth of Christ in the right time, in fulfillment of prophecy. Know that. Joseph didn't understand that. He never could see anything in this, only just that upset that came just at the wrong time. Well, you dear sisters, especially, I hope your hearts are hearts who are men are not as tender as they should be. I hope you have a heart. But you think of merely rising up and at the end, discovering that not even a man in the place, a gentleman of birth that was saved. A man there in good health. We take the barn, we take the earthside place. And I give you my bed. I don't know how they felt when they went into the cattle shed. To spend the night under such trying conditions. Mary there. I'm not saying she tears in her eyes, but she must have feeling in her heart. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And it was her. I'll take the Let's take a matter of humor. Nothing so dear to another as a newborn child. Part of herself, I'm speaking of ordinary children, part of herself, wrapped up in skin. I'm not thinking of that in this way. But you know a mother's heart. She'd long to have the best for her infant. Wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Led him in the stable. Maybe I should say to you, dear brother, and be specific of all that. You need the man to speak about a million times because I've heard about him. I don't know. Jesus, my Savior, the Bethlehem came. Born in a manger to sorrow and shame. You see, he wasn't born in a manger. He was born in the stable and he put him in a manger. And that was just because he didn't know the language. The Bible written there. So the word manger covers a rebuild. So the one is with that. It's not the crib of the house. And he's dead. Let him in a manger.
What's the file that you say?
Her association with Christ means that she has to take the outside place. You got that, young sister? Have you got that, dear brother? Have you sung it until perhaps it's too familiar to your mind? Our Lord is now rejected by the world is own. And if you're linked to him and associated with him, if he's dear to your heart, you'll have to take the outside leg.
Wahoo!
Find Christ their treasure. Have to know what it is to be rejected in this world. Then again, not long after the child is born, possibly within 2 years, another wicked device is love. This time it's by Herod. And he's about to take the children's lives in order to kill the king of Israel, who was just born before this. I ponder this. Here's a mother. Joseph has now his wife. The two of them have this infant. Possibly, well below 2 years old. They have to leave this land. They have to go to a foreign land. They have to stay there and live in Egypt until Herod is dead. again, of course. Oh, I love this passage. Isn't it great to see that the expenses were paid of the long trip? I don't know whether you men notice it or not, but there were wise men came from the east, and they brought gold and silver. They brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought the very material that would pay the expenses while the parent and the son and her husband, notice the way I worded that, the mother and the son and Joseph would be staying in Egypt. Some of our dear servants of the Lord here, I'd like to give you a little word on this. Many a time you go undertake journeys, missionaries maybe travel too much. Hope there's not too many in here, but I'm slipping that in on the way. Some of us preachers, I think we should catch ourselves on coming away from Ireland to a place like this. You'd think we should have more sense. Anyhow, we spend money. The question arises sometimes, where will we get it? Here's my blessed Lord, and the need provided, and provided from people at a distance. Wasn't the neighbors. Joseph didn't need to keep plastering around people to get enough to pay expenses. He didn't need to go round the people of Nazareth or wherever he lived and said, you know, I think I'll have to go to Egypt. I hope you're encouraging me to go, and I would like some document to help me to find a place when I go there. Or drop in a wee hint that the expenses will be heavy. Oh, no, the treasure house of God just was opened, and the supplies landed. And I think, now, dear young girl, I would like to help you. I would like to help you, dear young women, who are a little older than young girls. Mustn't it be a thrill for Mary to handle gold like me for the first time? And to smell the frankincense. Oh, such lovely stuff. And to know that Joseph, way back in the days of Joseph, that was the very material, the spices that were most treasured in Egypt. God knew not only to give her what would pay the expenses, but to give her the material that would be acceptable in the currency of the land to which she's going. Have you got that? I hope I'm not blundering over that too stupidly. Then again, to come back from Egypt. May this still keep in our mind, Doctor. Don't let us forget that she's a thinker. But another event took place that must have shaken her quite a bit. They go up to Jerusalem. And when they're at Jerusalem, they lose the child. Some of you dear souls never had that experience. I'll never forget being in a street, and Brother McKinley will know it, called Edward Street in Bergen. And I went and slipped into a butcher's shop. I don't know what that meat shop, I don't know what you call them here. To buy some meat. I had my little girl beside me. And I made the purchase. And I looked round. She was gone. I went out onto the street and I couldn't find her. For a few minutes, they looked terribly long minutes to me. I was really in a quandary. What has become of the child? Where is she? Eventually I found her. And that must have been very annoying to hear. It must have. Eventually they find her. You remember the first words that left his lips that were told in the Bible, all of those quotations from Hebrews and Psalm? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Oh, dear soul, don't you forget that at 12 years of age, he was aware of who his father was.
He wasn't thinking of Joseph when he said, my father's business. He wasn't thinking of the carpenter shop when he said, my father's business. He hadn't known in that early year that the father was the father of glory. He's only in relationship with his father in that early year. Mary still thinking. Joseph, they're still thinking of the wonder that's in their home. We pass on. We pass on. 30 years, you know, is a long time in married life. It's a long time. With all her hopes churned up within her, her natural thought would be, surely, this one, who is now fully developed, speaking after the manner of men, he'd begin to operate. He'd begin to claim his kingdom. He'd begin to prove that he's the Messiah. The strangest thing about it is this. She couldn't get him hurried. She couldn't get him rushed. She gave him, as we would say, an indication of the marriage feast. Why don't you do something? Trying to push him on to get him to act. No, dear souls, I suppose the greatest mystery of life, all of us have to try and learn, and we're slow scholars in it. And we can't hurry God in our life. The young man perhaps has an exercise about the work of God in lands of fire. You know, you can't hurry God, dear brother. You're in God's time. The man in the assembly may think the day should soon come when he take responsibility and carry the burden of the meeting. And I would like to tell all such, it's maybe not as easy as you think. And don't be too critical of those who are carrying the burden, for you mightn't turn out as good as they are. You better wait God's time. And we ought not to be in a hurry, pushing others out for us to get in. Our time will come. We can afford to wait God's time. Mary had to learn that lesson, and it wasn't easy. You know that there came the awful trial. I would say the supreme trial of Mary had. What was that? Stand at the cross. Listen, dear sister. Watch the one that she led in a manger. As an infant, that she had watched grow up, watch the nail him to Luther. And you have her feeling. Can you imagine how she felt? Saw their clothes being taken from his back. She watched those rude hands tear down the cloth. She saw the soldiers claim their portion. She watched the one getting the robe that wasn't thrown. She stood by. Now I'll tell you something. In all probability, every hope of a manifest kingdom sank in her breast and sank in her heart. I know there's times in man's life, I don't know whether you Christians have much Christian experience or not, when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud, and the girl that was favored above all others was honored beyond humanity. She's experiencing sorrow.
but very few else experience. I would love to get whispering of John get it done. I would love to take every brother aside and every sister aside that's in this hall this afternoon and tell both in all humility that the closer you walk with God and the more you know of God, the more likely you will experience trials that others are strangers to. I must go on one more thought or two, and then I will have to give way. You will start to play. I want to say that you had another trial. Mind you, this wasn't a light. And it's the trial that some of us have had for years. A big percentage in this audience knows something of what I'm going to speak on now. And what was that? She had perhaps about 3 sons and at least 2 girls. And they must have been in their late 20s or thereabouts, somewhere between 20 and 30 or slightly over 30. Don't be frisky with me, but I'm not talking nonsense. What was wrong with them, said some? They didn't believe in Jesus. Neither. Oh, I wonder how we read it. With a feeling that we should. Neither did his brethren believe on him. What about James, who we spoke about last night? Yesterday afternoon. What about Judas? What about his sister? What about them? What about them? Mind you, they were here in a good home. There's not a man in the hall today who would stand up and say they hadn't a good mother. Come on now, brother. Yet after all the years that they had spent in that home, and all that they had known of a mother's tender care, and it's sad to say, they did not yet believe on her. Wasn't it been a great joy to her now, then? Not only to know that Jesus had risen, and had risen from the dead triumphant, bringing back all our hopes on resurrection ground. But mustn't it have been a great joy to know that those brethren that at early life did not believe on him, they eventually were all led to a knowledge of himself and became noted in the work of God. Sometimes we see the young, we brought them to the morning meeting with us. We brought them to the gospel meeting. We motored them or walked them through the Sunday school. We saw them in the gospel meeting. Sat in series after series of gospel meetings. Dear brethren, isn't it heartbreaking? You see them grow up and they're not saved. And you feel as if it's heartrending, but what can you do? You thank God for keeping them alive. You thank God that they're not in hell. Oh, that awful weight. That seeming tarrying of the power of God has broken many a man down. It has broken many a woman's heart. It has left many of us aged in looks and appearing. May God help us tonight in the gospel. Some mother's prayers will be heard. That the power of a risen Christ that reached the sons and daughters of Mary will be experienced in our midst. They too be saved before it be forever too late. Now we're at our last reference to Mary. What is that? Oh, she must have been thrilled as the tomb was empty. As the one that she loved so much was raised from the dead. But then, what about? Men stood looking up and I saw him going into hell. The last look you get at Mary, she's gathered with those disciples in that upper room. But the one that she led in the manger, the one that she brought into Egypt, the one that she cared for in early days, the one that she suffered because of her association with them, is gone about. What has she learned now, dear saints of God? What is she being taught now? That his kingdom's not of this world. That there's going to be a while of absence. She has to get her mind educated to fit in with the divine program. That the kingdom glory that she expected for her son to enjoy would be deferred until the mystery period has passed over. Dear child of God, I was up to get coming to you privately, but I'm not doing. Maybe you let a man on a platform have a little talk with you before he starts. There's much that you dream about, much that you expect, many deliverances that you would like to enjoy. But always remember, God's purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, where hides a smiling God. Great isn't to be alive, isn't it, dear sister? Dear brother, isn't it great to be alive? You say, what? God's purpose in your life could be fulfilled, just as his purpose in Mary's life was fulfilled.